Hey guys, it's Anthony Bandiero, attorney and senior legal instructor for Blue Gold Law Enforcement Training, bringing you another free webinar. Normally we have these on Wednesday nights, but we had to make this on Thursday afternoon. So this is May 29th, 2025, and we are joined by hundreds of officers around the country who have taken some of their valuable time to hear what I have to say, and I'm glad that you guys are here. We also have a lot of Blue to Gold employees here today, which is really, really cool because normally I don't record these in the daytime. I record these at night, usually from the hotel room or one of my co-instructors like Zach or John Ween record them. But we actually, because it's this afternoon, some of the employees were able to join, and it's really, and Jenna's here. See, it's, we have Jenna, Teresa, Rick, Patrick, Ramil, Daryl, another person that wants to be nameless is here. So, okay. So quick, I'm really glad to be here. Marlon is here. That's awesome. And I'm a retired police officer, sergeant out of the Nevada Highway Patrol. They now call it Nevada State Police. And I'm really glad to be here. I love my time in law enforcement, but I'd be lying to you, straight up lying to you, if I told you I didn't enjoy this more. I really love teaching search and seizure. I went to law school, and the only reason I went to law school is to teach this. The only reason that Zach Miller went to law school is to teach this, right? We don't want to be in the courtroom. We want to be in the classroom, which is where we are right now. Okay. Some quick disclaimers. Laws and agency SOPs, standard operating procedures may be more restrictive. That just makes sense. That's right. Go Zags, right? I'm a Gonzaga graduate. That's awesome. And so what I'm going to talk about here is, you know, is the Fourth Amendment. There are some state differences here and there, not many on today's topic, but there are a few. If you have any doubts about the legality of your actions, push to the chain. That's what people with the stars and the bars and scrambled eggs on their hats get paid for, is make those decisions. And finally, this course is legal education, not legal advice. Okay. All right. So quite simple. We're going to do plain view, and then we're going to do plain feel. So plain view, you've heard that saying all the time. In fact, if you say to like a regular, you know, uninformed citizen, hey, do you know what plain view is? You know, they would probably figure it out, right? Right to be, right to see. Now, Zach is, and this is why we need that book, Zach, this is why we need that book, because New York is the only state that doesn't allow plain feel. And that is just absolutely fascinating. You're going to need, you know, something, right? You're going to need a recognized exception, I guess, right? To grab that evidence, like search into arrest or something like that. So maybe Zach will, you know, talk about that more in a second. So now, plain view observations are not searches under the Fourth Amendment. When we look at the definition of a search means one of two things. Number one is that you are intruding on a person's reasonable expectation of privacy, or you're physically trespassing into a protected area in order to gather information. Well, right to be, right to see is not a search, right? Because there is no privacy interest of what you can see, smell, hear, taste under your God-given senses. A person would not have they could not object to your observations, because right to be, right to see. We made this t-shirt a very long time ago. It's basically this cop, you know, drinking his coffee, you know, working at the nude beach. Somebody has to protect the beachgoers, and he's thinking to himself, right to be, right to see. I think this shirt's very funny, but I did have one person say they didn't like it, but that's okay. I still thought it was kind of funny. Okay. So legally, plain view, there's the difference between plain view and open view. Now, the DeVore doctrines, don't even get me started with New York. New York can be so weird, man. It's so weird. So what is the difference between plain view and open view? Who can tell me besides Zach? Zach, you're not playing. Who can tell me what the difference is between open view and plain view? Just nobody wants to take it? Okay, here we go. Plain view is when you're there for a reason and see it. Open view is anyone can see it. Okay, I'm actually gonna take that. And also, Douglas says that plain view is outside of protected areas. Actually, that one is gonna be the opposite. Open view is outside of protected areas. I believe if that's what you meant. So let's talk about open view now. Why does it matter? Why do we even say open view, plain view? Well, it matters, I guess, if you want to know the reason, is that it matters about if you're lawfully present, right? If you're inside of a house conducting a domestic violence investigation and you see a kilo of cocaine in plain view, what is going to be, if you were the defense attorney, what would you attack, right? What would you go after? Just say it, right? If you're in a house conducting a domestic violence, right, exactly, Jeffrey, you would attack why you're even there. You would say you had no right to enter my client's home because you had no agency, you had no consent, you had no warrant. So therefore, because you weren't right to be, right to see, you, it was an unlawful observation, fruit of the poisonous tree. That's why it matters. Now, personally, and Zach, do me a favor. Do you know anybody that teaches this, that teaches open view, plain view? Personally, I don't teach plain view, open view in my regular classes, okay? Yes, there's a difference. I've only met one agency that actually teaches it at the academy, and that is Las Vegas Metro. But personally, I don't, and here's why. I think it's semantics. I think, yes, it does matter, but how about the way I'm looking? Look, we already have so many doctrines to put on your plate. The way that I look at it, me personally, is just be lawfully present no matter where you are and just call it plain view. That's what I teach, okay? Whether you're in the open field or you're inside the person's kitchen, be lawfully present and call it a day. That's what I choose. And a lot of agencies and a lot of court cases use the same. They might mean open view, but they actually say plain view. That's me. Okay. So here's an example. You're there for a burglary call. Okay. The ADT alarm went off. The door looks pried. Nobody's answering the door. You think there could be a burglar inside. You go in there to, you know, do a protective sweep to see if there's any, felons inside trying to steal stuff. And while you're in the basement, you see a grow operation, right, by the homeowner. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right, Zach. They hardly ever use open view when they mean open view. They say plain view. Now, if you go down into the basement, you see all this marijuana growing properly, you would call that plain view, right? Because the key is, were you lawfully present? Versus you heard that somebody has a marijuana cultivation operation going on within their Dutton Ranch, right? And, you go over there and maybe you're legally trespassing per the state law. However, it's an open field. It's not protected by the Fourth Amendment under curtilage. And you go to this guy's, farming operation. You see, 10 acres of marijuana growing. Legally, that would be open view, right? I observed the marijuana growing in open view. That would be the difference. Okay, let's do one more example. Traffic stop. Yes, I did use a Yellowstone reference, right? The traffic stop, during the traffic stop, the officer looks in the back seat and he sees a firearm, a kilo of cocaine, a severed head. Well, that's plain view, because we have to know that the traffic stop is valid, right? Oh, yeah. And then versus walking by this car, right? And, you look in the back and you see a kilo of cocaine. That is open view because there was not a traffic stop. There was no expectation of privacy in that issue. Okay. Now, plain view, what it comes down to, number one, you have to be lawfully present, right? Lawfully present. Here is a case where an officer, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase the facts here just to make a training point. But what I think is happening here is this officer has a warrant for this guy, like a misdemeanor warrant. And the suspect, this Qubit guy, he is staying in a hotel. Fine. Okay, we can serve arrest warrants at a hotel. What I think is also going on here, though, is that the guy is like a drug dealer, and I think the officer wants to use the arrest warrant as a pretext to see inside the room. In other words, he's going to knock, announce, wait for a reasonable amount of time, and then kind of use the pass key to get into the hotel room, and then hopefully while he's wrapping this guy up in handcuffs, he wants to see if he sees something in plain view. Now, the guy answers the door, and he immediately comes out of the room. And he shuts the door behind him. This is exactly what the cop did not want to happen. He did not. He wanted to get into the room after knock and announce. And the cop then opened the door with the passkey, pushed the guy back into the room, hooked him up for the warrant, and then saw the evidence in plain view. How do you think that went, right? How do you think that went over with the court? clearly, that's not going to work, right? That is not plain view. That is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Corey says, cop zero, bad guy one. Okay. So immediately apparent with no manipulation. Now, this one is kind of confusing because the language of immediately apparent comes from an old school case, I believe Coolidge, and the court used this whole, immediately apparent business, and they've kind of gotten rid of it, right? Because there is, unless you're in like Massachusetts, what's another one? Massachusetts. What's another state that requires there's immediately apparent? New York might be one of them, but some like New Jersey maybe, right? But the point is like what I'm trying to say is if you're inside of a house and you're there lawfully. And you're, let's say you're the cover officer for a domestic violence, and you look over on the kitchen table and you see this laptop that has a unique sticker on the top. It's a unique, custom sticker, whatever it says, right? And it says blue to gold, right? And you're like, wait a minute. I think we had a laptop stolen from the Starbucks yesterday with that sticker. I'm not sure, but let me call my detective. Hey, what sticker did that laptop have on it? Oh, it had a blue to gold sticker and blah, blah, blah. And so was that immediately apparent? No. Was that lawful plain view? Yes. Why? Because we care more about the manipulation than we do about this whole immediately apparent thing. Now, even in those states, I don't have the slide up, but even those states that are immediately apparent, what they really mean is they don't want you making home entries as a pretext to see things in plain view. That's a different issue anyway, but that's kind of what they mean by immediately apparent and so forth. That's how they use their rule. But only a few states even have that restriction. For the most part, it's going to be game on. Here's an example of manipulation. And Josh, I'll get to your question in 1 second. So the cops are here in this apartment because of a shots fired call. At the end of the day, this guy named Hicks, he was playing with the gun that he was not supposed to have. He shot a round off the gun. The bullet goes through the floor, hits his neighbor in the head, doesn't kill the guy from what I understand, but definitely injured him. He fled the scene. The cops are inside the apartment looking for him, looking for more victims. And they say that the apartment was in squalid conditions, right? The word squalid, which paints the picture of crappy. And so they're in this crappy apartment. The guy looks like he's of moderate means for financial reasons. And they see this very nice stereo. And I actually knew the exact model name just because I thought it was kind of funny that they put it inside the case, but it's like a Denon something, right? But they saw this really nice stereo that looked out of place, and they moved it ever so slight to run the serial number, and that came back to a hit on a stolen property report. Now, what does Hicks argue? Manipulation. The cops argue plain view. And the courts found that this was a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Josh says, confirming again that plain view does not work if you're doing a simple knock and talk and see evidence within plain. No, it definitely works. It definitely works. The question, Josh, in that case, and I don't care about pretext, okay? Unless you're in a wacky state like Massachusetts. But at the end of the day, we don't care about what you have in your brain. We care about, was that knock and talk legitimate? Was that a true knock and talk, meaning social norms, you know, you're knocking at a reasonable hour, you know, you're not doing anything weird, like doing pull-ups on people's fences and looking in their backyard. So that, right, you're just doing knock and talk. And, you know, your pretext is like, you sure hope you would see something in plain view, smell something in plain smell. Fine. You're good to go. Okay, Josh, totally good to go. Doesn't matter what's in here. It matters how you act, not how you think. What's the reason for being there for the knock and talk? Is it a lawful? Yes, exactly. And it can be, frankly, you can kind of have a ruse, right? You could be like, yeah, I'm looking for drugs, but you can be like, I just want to ask you about, did you see any crime happen last night? You know, just make it all up. It wouldn't matter. And not in that case, that would not be coercion. All right. This next case, Hernandez, it's a little older case, but it's still an example of manipulation. So especially the feds and a lot of states, but especially the feds, when marijuana was illegal across the board, they would do what's called puffing. They would go to bus stations and they would, you know, when the luggage was offloaded from the bus and before the passengers could pick up their luggage, they would puff the luggage, right? They would puff and squeeze it and see if the smell of marijuana would come out, and they would use that as probable cause and they would go from there. Now, they would call that plain smell, and apparently some courts have upheld it because it lasted for a while, the puffing cases, but then they started getting shut down when they started realizing that even this violated the defendant's reasonable expectation of privacy. Casey says, I believe seeing the evidence versus removing the evidence from the house is the issue. Absolutely, right? I mean, seeing something in plain view on a kitchen table does not necessarily mean that you can actually go into the house and remove it, right? You would need some level of exigency or consent to enter the threshold of the home. And so, you know, imagine that you saw a stolen piano. You know, it's going to be a little tough to say that evidence could be destroyed by the time you come back. Okay, now this one is a little bit weird too. All right, let's talk about this. And Charles says, you need the acronym CRU. That's correct. CRU is consent, a recognized exception, or a warrant. And Zach says, just because you can see it doesn't mean you can touch it. We're going to talk about a case like that. All right, so one of my favorite quotes, by the way, from that judge that said, just because you can see it doesn't mean you can touch it. So this is a case where the cops were lawfully in this residence. I forget exactly why they were there, but imagine that the cops were there for some kind of complaint. They were inside the house lawfully, and they saw child sexual assault material, right, otherwise known as child pornography, playing on the TV in the back room. Well, shit, that's major, right? I mean, what the heck is going on here? So they go over to the TV. They take out the VHS tape that was in the VCR that was playing, and then they also take other VHS tapes that were around the TV, but they had no label on them. The labels were blank, but they presumed correctly that that also contained CSAM. Now, the key to that case, though, is that they watched the videos without any warrant. Why? They said it's all plain view, right? They presumed correctly again that the other tapes had child pornography on them, and they were correct. The problem, though, is that the court said that this did not allow a seizure. I'm sorry, it did not allow a viewing of those other tapes. The one that was in the VCR, fine. You already have plain view on that. It was playing. There's no expectation of privacy anymore in those contents. But yes, you have probable cause that those other tapes contain CSAM. The problem is that it was not in plain view. The container was in plain view, which is the tape, but not the contents. And that's the problem with that case, right? That's right. You're going to have to get a warrant on this case. So they lost those tapes, but the guy still got convicted because of the one single count of what was on the other video. Okay. Now, you know, when it comes to curtilage, in fact, it's crazy that the cops did not get the warrant. Is that what you're saying, Jenna? Right? It's crazy that the cops didn't slow it down and do the right thing and get that warrant. Okay, now you must act in a socially acceptable manner while on curtilage unless you have exigency. We just had this issue. I mean, somebody just asked me this the other day. Cops were like on somebody's property and they were looking around the backyard for evidence and so forth. And that so it happens. It's just the other day, these cops are calling me and like, hey, I think we messed up here. So what about this, right? What if you had probable cause, right? That one of these this watercraft, right? It looks kind of weird here. It's on top of the truck almost. But what if you had a probable cause that that watercraft was stolen? Well, okay. Can you go in there and retrieve that watercraft, right? Yes or no? Okay, Charles is saying no. Let me see what other people are saying here. Matt says, any issue with restricting him going back to the house? No. I mean, you could probably grab him in under agency. So Forrest says, so you can have an officer sit while you wait for the warrant or get consent. Correct. Look, I'm not saying you can't go in if you see the evidence in plain view. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you are going to go in and sweep that house and start pulling people out of that house, you do need a reason to believe that the evidence will be destroyed. Now, I will tell you, it's probably not hard to do. Unless it's a piano or a stolen lawnmower, if it's drugs, for the most part, you're going to have agency that the drugs will get destroyed in the meantime. Okay. So you can see it, but you can't touch it, right? There's a red force field around that stolen property. Okay. What if you stood on a chair to see inside of a garage, right? This is where the cop... You know, I can't replicate the AI part, but he stood in his chair and then he saw inside the garage and saw a stolen vehicle in plain view. No, right? That's not acting in a socially acceptable manner. What about using a flashlight? This is a case, Bauer versus State, a Texas case, where as the cops are walking up to the house to go to the front door, they shined their flashlight into the garage and they saw the evidence of a murder in plain view, right? Okay. And Charles says, yes, we can do that, right? So as a court has said, that's not the Bauer case, but when the circumstances of a particular case are such that the police officer's observation would not have constituted a search had it occurred in daylight, then the fact that the officer used a flashlight to pierce the nighttime darkness does not transform his observation into a search. Okay. So It's as long as you're lawfully present, right? Because you're on curtilage, what is the legal question? Right to be, right to see. You have to be lawfully present. So Brooks, Bauer versus State is your best case on this. So also don't forget, you can download the PowerPoint from the store, but you got it? Took a picture? Okay. All right. And then you had lawful access. So plain view allows you to grab and go if you don't need to make another constitutional intrusion. That just makes sense, right? Right to be, right to see. If you're also lawfully present and you don't have to make another constitutional entry, then you can grab the evidence and go. Okay. So here's what happened in Lewis v. State. What happened here is an officer, this is not a good replication of kind of what happened, maybe it is. But what happened here is an officer was patrolling a city street. As he was driving by, he saw Lewis hunched over his stairs. Now, the stairs were on the side of the house, okay, the left side of the house. And he was hunched over the stairs. And he, the cop thought he was like packaging narcotics. That was what it appeared to be to the cop, right? That's like the body mechanics. And State versus Adams. So as the officer was stopping his car in front of the house, Lewis looked up and he saw the cop, and he immediately and instinctually took all the things he was messing with and he put it under his stairs. Okay. The stairs that were outside, but the stairs were on his curtilage. The backup officer arrived. The backup officer went to the neighbor's curtilage, saw the drugs underneath the stairs, then went over to Lewis's curtilage and grabbed the drugs. Okay, Lewis makes two arguments. Number one is he said, well, you violated my rights, essentially, you know, you violated my rights when you went to my neighbor's curtilage without his permission. So that was not plain view. How do you answer that? Okay, Lewis is complaining about the cop going to the neighbor's curtilage. How do you answer that? That's good. Why? Okay, so Heather says, Heather's correct. Heather says, I do not have standing. Okay. Hold on. Okay, so, well, not, okay, look, here's the deal. Michael says the neighbor would have to be the complainant. Well, even if the neighbor complains, is it going to matter for Lewis? Will that affect the outcome of that case at all? No, because no matter what, Lewis doesn't have standing to contest how other people are treated. Now, then the cop went over to Lewis's curtilage and grabbed the drugs that he just saw in plain view. Lewis was at the curb. There was nobody at the house, apparently. Are we good? Can we grab the drugs we just saw from the neighbor's yard? Yes or no? Sasha's here, by the way. Hey, Sasha. Glad to have you back. Okay. The answer is no, not with these facts, right? We're going to need some form of agency, right? Or consent. By the way, I believe that they can probably get consent. But as the court said, it is true that not only must the officer be lawfully located in a place in which the object can be plainly seen, but he or she must also have a lawful right of access to the object itself. Police officers are prohibited from entering a person's home or its curtilage without a warrant, absent consent, or a showing of exigent circumstances. This is true even when the items of contraband are visible within the officer's plain view. Okay. This next quote reminds me of what Zach said. Zach said, you know, just because you see it doesn't mean you can touch it. This is what the judge said. He said, seeing something in open view does not, of course, dispose of the problem of crossing constitutionally protected thresholds. Those who thoughtlessly overapply the plain view doctrine to every situation have not yet learned the simple lesson, long since mastered by old hands at the burlesque houses, you can't touch everything you can see. Probably one of the funniest quotes I've ever seen a judge write personally, because I think it's hilarious. Okay. Yeah, Jake, the answer is yes. That's right. So you would need some agency. You would need a person there that can grab the drugs. You need weather. It's starting to rain, and the drugs can be, you know, contaminated with water and, you know, whatever that, you know, and so forth. But you would need something more than just plain view. Any questions on that? Okay, containers. This is another issue that kind of comes up. If you have probable cause for items inside a container, meaning you believe, right, you have facts and circumstances that lead you to believe there's a fair probability that there's contraband inside a container, well, that doesn't mean you can search a container. All that means is you can grab the container. So it's two different things. Plain view is when there's no expectation of privacy on what's inside the container, if that's what you're looking at, right? Containers, you may be able to search them incident to arrest. You may have agency. You may have consent. You may have what's called a foregone conclusion of what's inside, meaning that, you know, it's a container and, you know, like you saw them put the drugs in the little box and close and put the lid in the box. You may be able to argue foregone conclusion. Maybe the single purpose container doctrine. That's when, based on the shape, the style, the markings on a container, you know that only one thing is in that container, and that's going to be contraband. This is like your bricks, right? Your bricks and so forth. Now, Forrest says inventories. Do me a favor, Forrest. Change your chat settings to everyone. But Forrest says inventories. Inventories are governed by different rules, right? Inventories are governed by policy and trying to protect, you know, interest, police interest, and so forth. So it's not going to be by plain view opening container. It's going to be done by an inventory search if it's allowed by your policy, which I'm sure it probably is. Okay. So courts have drawn a distinction between the plain view seizure of a container and the subsequent search of that container, because the seizure under the plain view doctrine does not compromise the interest in preserving the privacy of its contents, while its search does. As a consequence, to protect the privacy interests of the contents of a container, courts will allow a search of a container following its plain view seizure only where the contents of the seized container are a foregone conclusion, meaning there is no right of privacy left in a container. However, you got to be careful about this, right? Because if you saw somebody put drugs in a backpack, and the backpack contains other items, could there be a right of privacy in those other items? And the answer is going to be yes. Right? The answer is going to be yes. Charles says or asks, would canine sniff allow access to the container? Yes, under the motor vehicle exception, right? But if the sniff alone is PC, you need PC plus, PC plus agency, PC plus motor vehicle exception, PC plus search into arrest, PC plus single purpose container doctrine, PC plus cat out of the bag, which is your private search doctrine, PC plus search warrant. You need something like that. You just can't have the sniff gives you the PC, but you are going to need the plus. The Crown Royal bag. Oh my God. You guys, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Anthony, that's PC right there. That's PC all day, twice on Sunday. I get it. Okay. I understand. Okay. That this is a bougie drug kit, you know, for the up and up drug users. I get it. For the yuppies. I get it. But is that really plain view? Is that a single purpose container doctrine? Is it a foregone conclusion that the only thing in there is narcotics? I know you guys want to say yes, because that's in your experience, but the answer legally is no, right? Paul's preparing his kids for a life of crime. Okay, Paul, what are you doing to your poor kids? Okay, it's subliminal. There's something about that purple velvet that contaminates the brain. Okay. Okay, when it comes to the Crown Royal bag, the court has said this is a mistaken interpretation of the plain view doctrine, thinking that hey, that's I have PC for it, therefore it's in like plain view, right? Under the plain view exception to the warrant requirement, a police officer can seize an object in plain view without a warrant only if the object's incriminating character is immediately apparent. In this case, the object in plain view was the pouch, not the contraband. Consequently, the plain view exception will apply only if the plain view's incriminating nature is immediately apparent. Okay. Even though searching the pouch was not authorized under plain view, they could affect a warrantless seizure and warrantless search of the pouch under the search incident to arrest doctrine, so the evidence was ultimately not suppressed. Now, Rick, can you do me a favor? Do we have a search instant to arrest webinar coming up that Zach is doing? Or do we have that, or is it already done? Because even, this is a 1997 case. Zach, do you think that this statement could be problematic in 2025? Right? Just the fact that we just call it search instant to arrest. So see if we have that webinar coming up, because I want Zach to, he goes into detail about some challenges in sport. Okay, so while Rick is looking that up, let's talk about sensory aids. Okay, so typically, right to be, right to see is your God-given senses. When you start using sensory enhancements, that's when things get a little tricky. So let me just give you an example, okay? All right, so this cop, he hears that the guy on the top floor of his apartment building, he's a felon with a firearm. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Rick. We'll get that on schedule. So he's a felon with a firearm. The cop looks up with unaided vision, just with his plain eyeballs, and sees the gun in plain view. Clearly we're okay. Okay. Clearly we're okay. But what if he cannot see anything up there at all? Right. And now he can't see, it's too high up, okay? His vision is not that good. It's 20/20, but it ain't that good. So now, he uses eyeballs, fine. But now he breaks out the binoculars. And now because of the binoculars, he can see inside that window of the apartment. Are we good? Yes or no? But before, he couldn't see anything. Okay. Okay, the answer is that this is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem calling this plain view, because this is sensory enhancement, and due to the fact that the officer could not see anything, that's the key in this case, okay? The officer could not see anything that actually Martin Smith brought up Arno. Arno is absolutely one of your go-to cases in this space. Arno is a case involving Playboy, 1970s pornography. They use binoculars. Excellent. Excellent. So are you a lawyer? Because that is pretty impressive that you threw out Arno, and just tell me that's awesome. I'm just actually blown away that you threw out Arno. Okay. Nice. Where are you reserve at, Martin? Okay. Freaking love it. I absolutely love it. Attorney and reserve for LA Sheriff's Department. That's awesome. Okay, so now let's change the facts, change the answer. What if, Martin, you're on deck here, okay? And Arno answers this question too. What if you could see the contraband, but you can't really make it out that well? You can see it, okay? You're like, I think that's pornography. I think that's drugs. I think that's a firearm, but I'm not positive, right? Can you then use binoculars to confirm or clarify what you see, yes or no? Okay. Okay, the answer is yes, right? The answer is yes. Nice job. Because that is not violating expectation of privacy. A thermal imager. Well, what case is that, Martin? Now you're on deck. Now you really got me. We're on a roll here. What case said that you cannot use thermal imaging on a house and call that plain view? Brooks says it's nope, right? Okay, it's Kylo. All right, too much. But Martin, you were on a roll there. I do like it. Okay, it is the Kylo case. Okay, let's talk about this one.
My dad told me if I put my phone camera up to a tinted window, I could see exactly what was inside of the car. So to test it, I have his car here, and I've hidden an iPad in the back seat, which I cannot see right now. But if I put my phone camera up to it, there, clear as day.
Okay, now, this is the picture from the actual case. It's called U.S. versus Polar, okay? Now, you guys may have read this case, the Polar case. Do you think that putting your phone onto a car or even hovering over it, do you think that violates a person's reasonable expectation of privacy? I mean, privacy and trespass. Yes or no? Privacy. No, yes, ness, no, yes. It is, well, not trespassing yet. We're going to get that. Okay. Okay. I think that it can. I think that it can, but Polar says I'm wrong, okay? Also, not only Polar, actually, was there another? Anyway, Polar might be the one that, okay, it's just Polar. Polar says I'm wrong, okay? Okay. Polar says there is no expectation of privacy in looking through tint with a cell phone. Now, what about trespass? There's two searches, there's privacy and trespass. Do you think that this could violate the Fourth Amendment by trespassing onto the person's car by physically touching the car, yes or no, for the intent to get information? Okay, Daniel says if you place it against the window, yes, it would. And that I agree with, right? And Michael says I don't agree with it, but it seems like you are. Okay, so what Polar said here, he said, in short, to the extent that the police came into physical contact with the car for the purpose of acquiring information about what was inside, I agree with Polar that they conducted a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. So far, so good. But because the record does not show that this physical contact was necessary for the police to learn what was inside the car, I declined to suppress the evidence of what was inside and eventually seized. So a lot of people are coming back at me because I have been teaching for years that touching cars with cell phones is a search. I did not say you can't do it. I never said that. I just said that it is a search, requires crew, okay? However, and so people are like, oh, well, Polar came out and says you're wrong. No, it did not. It said that they don't think it's a privacy issue, but they did not say it was not a trespass issue. They just said, regardless, even if it was a trespass issue, the evidence won't be suppressed. Now, what if you hover over the car and do not touch the car? Okay, I'm going to tell you that I personally have an issue with it under the right facts. However, that is, we don't know, right? We're not certain yet. I can see it going both ways, right? But right now, Polar is in your favor if you do not touch the car. All right, I'm going to take a quick commercial break here. And you're going to answer a question. I need your help request. Please answer a question for me. Okay, I'm just quick. We're not done here. Just while I answer some questions and we take a commercial break, I really need your help. I'm trying to improve. Zach is trying to improve. John Wien is trying to improve. Teresa is trying to. We're all trying to improve around here to give you guys the best content in the nation. Okay, when it comes to search and seizure, legal training, report writing, and so forth. So please help me out. This is the cost of admission. It's telling me the truth. Do not sugarcoat it. I guys, if you want to compliment me and say, hey, you're doing a great job, I appreciate that. But if you really want to help me and you want to help me grow, please give me constructive feedback and critiques. I really mean that. Okay. Okay. Oh, tomorrow. Yeah. Yes, it does. It does work. The answer is yes. It actually does work. It does work. All right. So you don't have to touch the car. You don't have to touch the car to get the inside information or the information to see inside the car. Brooks wants snacks because he doesn't get fed at home. That's fine. Corey says polar is still a gray area. I agree, but again, it's gray. I don't like it. I think that one day it's going to cross. I think it can cross a line. Michael says it's minimal, hovering and not hovering. Well, touching the car is not minimal, right? That'd be, yeah, it is gray. I think it's gray when it comes to the privacy issue, right? It's gray when it comes to the privacy issue. But again, I have my opinions on it. So while you guys are doing that, I appreciate it. Give me some honest feedback. We want to grow around here. And cool. Let's continue. All right. Plain feel, plain touch. So if you are conducting a lawful pat down, you may seize an item if it's immediately apparent as contraband or evidence of a crime. So our key case here is Minnesota versus Dickerson. I don't know why he's holding his own methamphetamine. He's about to get it out and deliver it to a person. What happened here is an officer conducted a pat down. They manipulated the item, and the Supreme Court said, look, we are cool with you feeling something and knowing it is narcotics and removing it. That's cool. We can handle that, but not manipulating it, right? That's what Minnesota versus Dickerson kind of said, right? The officer's continued exploration of respondent's pocket after having concluded that it contained no weapon was unrelated to the sole justification of a Terry pat down. All right. So here's the way I look at this, right? One is weapons. Look, the way I've read these cases is that if you're like, yeah, look, I think it still could be a weapon. It's like, it could be a vape device or it could be a baton. It could be something like an object that can hurt me. The courts are going to give you some latitude there to figure out what the item is. But if you're going to go to court and say, Your Honor, it's not a weapon. I know that. Okay. It's soft. It's pliable. It's not a weapon, but I think it could be drugs. And then the next question is, okay, after that point, after knowing it's not a weapon, did you manipulate? The answer is yes or no. If you manipulate it, you're not going to get any wiggle room. It's going to be done. Okay. That's the way I read these cases. The courts want you to be safe. They want to give you a little wiggle room. That's not a term of art. Okay. Do not go to court and say, but Your Honor, Anthony says I got wiggle room, especially when you're doing pat downs near people's private parts. Don't use that phrase. I'm just telling you, that's kind of what the way I look at it. Okay. So during a pat down, an officer felt a rolled up bag. I got to fix that. Hold on. What slide is this? Hold on. Make a little note here. So a bag, and wasn't sure if it contained a weapon. He then manipulated to make sure that it wasn't the weapon. The court threw it out, right? We conclude that the police were acting. Oh, this is the one about the weapons issue. Sergeant Mason was conducting a lawful protective sweep, protective pat down search when he felt the heavy object in Roger's coat pocket. He manipulated the object for a few seconds to determine what it was and felt a hard object and then a softer object. At that point, Mason was not yet able to exclude the possibility that there was a weapon in the pockets, therefore it was inside the bounds of Terry. My point here with this case is that you got some wiggle room here, right? They didn't talk. If that was drugs, they would have never given you that kind of latitude. When it comes to narcotics, there's no wiggle room or contraband. It's either apparent as evidence or it's not. So officer lawfully pat down the suspect. He felt a small lump that he knew was not a weapon. He told the court, as I pat searched the front of his body, I felt a lump, a small lump in the front pocket. I examined it with my fingers and it slid and it felt to be a lump of crack cocaine and cellophane. Well, you know, the problem is the cop is articulating manipulation. Right. So that's going to violate Dickerson. So the officers continued exploration of the response pocket after having concluded that it contained no weapon, was unrelated to the sole justification under Terry. Now, the tic-tac container. The officer testified that he had a lot of experience with people having drugs in tic-tac containers. Well, that's not enough, right? That's not immediately apparent as contraband inside of a tic-tac container. That's like the Crown Royal bag, right? That's very similar. That's very, very similar. So the evidence was suppressed. The officer needs to articulate why this container, while this Altoids container, had narcotics inside. Not just that, in my experience, that's what I've run into. That doesn't work, right? Okay. Immediately apparent, though, is based on totality of the circumstances, the T to the O to the C. You're allowed to use the environment. You're allowed to use the suspect's characteristics. You're allowed to use what they say to you, how they act, what and so forth. So prior history, don't just, look, I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of officers are articulating plain feel on nothing more than how it feels. That is probably the most important thing, right? A bulbous pipe and, you know, a hard object with a bulbous end, it consists with a meth pipe. Okay, fine. I get that. But what about the fact that the guy tells you he's a drug user? What about the fact that you have arrested him before for narcotics, that he just came from a known drug house, that he's evasive and nervous? Those are also factors, okay? Okay, you detain a suspect because he may have robbed, right, a suspect's watch. During a pat-down, you feel a watch in his right front pocket. Do you think that based on the T to the O to the C, that you have probable cause that that watch in this man's pocket is likely the one that he just stole from this guy? And the answer is going to be yes, right? Use totality of the circumstances. Passenger fled a stop and the driver was fidgeting with something near the floorboard. During the pat-down, a cop felt a pill bottle in his sock. Do you think passenger fleeing, driver fidgeting with something near the floorboard, and the fact that it's a pill bottle in his sock is plain feel for contraband? The answer is going to be yes, right? When it comes to the tic-tac container, that's what we're missing there. Why do you think that this container contains narcotics? All right, guys, we're going to get to some trivia. This is where you can win some fabulous prizes, shirts, books, free training, right? Paid training and so forth. Let's do some training. But guys, Teresa, you tell me if this, but I want guys, you need to sign up for our social media. We work very hard on the YouTube channel, Instagram, MySpace. So Teresa works very hard as a social media manager. She's built up an incredible following there and worked very hard. Friendster, I'm on Friendster. So there's the links right there. I'm definitely on OnlyFans, but I feel like I'm paying more to the customers than they're paying me. Okay. Isn't it supposed to work the other way around? Why am I losing money on OnlyFans? I'm the only guy losing money on OnlyFans. All right. All right. So we got that. We got over 1,000 videos on YouTube. You should be showing these videos during your roll call. You should be showing and looking up these videos when you're looking for an answer to your questions. I mean, when you have 1,000 videos, that's funny, actually. For those people that are watching this on demand, the chat, I mean, there's hundreds of people here. So cops are naturally funny people. So you can just imagine some of the comments. And they're all appropriate. They're all, you know, nothing crazy, but they are very funny. So YouTube and so forth. All right, let's do some trivia. All right, so you can win a book, you win a T-shirt, a challenge coin, on-demand training, legit training, and so forth. Let's hear the rules. Number one is your answer must be in one reply. Number two is the chat must be sent to everyone. Number three, wait for the timer. This is the biggest issue. We have a timer, a 10 second timer. Wait for that timer to stop and then boom, send your answer. And you cannot win more than once. Now here's the other little curveball. And I don't know if you guys like it or not. You guys can tell me if you don't like it, but Because I've had this webinar a few times, sometimes people get very good on the answers, okay? And the problem is that some officers are like so quick, they just know the answer because they've watched this webinar before, and boom, they beat everybody out. This question is going to be, it's going to probably require internet research, and that just slows everybody down and gives everybody a chance to see who can come up with the answer. It's a Supreme Court case. Tell me what the Supreme Court case is on this issue. Okay. Okay. Let's see how this works. And if you guys don't like it, you can tell me, but I'm just trying to make it a little more fair for people. All right. So what case held that the plain view doctrine does not require evidence of crime to be discovered inadvertently? I might have mentioned the name. Okay. Hold on. Don't send it. Don't send it yet. Zach cannot win. You are definitely not winning. You've already won. You have a job at Blue to Gold. Okay, after Zach. All right. All right. Actually, I was wrong in that. I think Sasha, I'm sorry if I led you. I actually said, I thought it was Coolidge, but the answer, according to this, is Horton. Horton, here's a Hughes. Oh, no, that is Sasha. Who said Coolidge? Oh, Jeff. Jeff. So, Jeff, I'm sorry. I led you astray. But it's Sasha. So, Sasha wins a grand prize, the Hawaiian vacation or the T-shirt. So Zach, though, I thought, didn't Coolidge also talk about that? Ah, so, man. Yes. So Rick, I got to double check my work here. I didn't look at these before I started the webinar. So we're going to have two people. So Sasha and who was the other one? We're going to do two winners here because it was Coolidge. So, and Jeff. So Jeff and Sasha, you guys both win because it's not fair to do it that way. So, email richard@bluetogold.com. Okay. Okay, so Sasha, Jeff, email richard@bluetogold.com. Okay? Okay. Hopefully this next one will be a little better. And then you can, he'll pick up, you know, you guys can pick a prize and he'll send it to you. All right, the next one. Let's hope we don't mess this one up. What case held that the plain view doctrine does not apply when officers move an object to obtain information not otherwise apparent? Don't send it. I know you guys want to send it, but you're not going to win if you send it on the chat. Hold on. Let the timer. What case? Moving the object. Okay. Right after Rick. Amanda Williams. Okay. And hey, look, Amanda's won before, but I said that. No, you can win more than once. So Amanda, unless you wanna give up your prize. Okay. Amanda is saying that's Chief Amanda to you, by the way. Amanda says that Larry is going to get it. So Larry Sipple, you have won because of Chief Williams. And email richard@bluetogold.com. Okay, Larry? And good job, Amanda, as always. Okay, Larry, just acknowledge, just do me a favor, just say, got it. Just want to make sure you're good. Ah, so Larry got it. Okay, the last one. All right, the last one. Let's hope Amanda wins again so she can pass. She's getting a lot of goodwill here. The last one might be a little tougher, is what case held? I did not talk about this particular case in today's webinar. What case held that an officer may use a flashlight to illuminate an area without violating the Fourth Amendment and that probable cause required for plain view seizure? So it's a flashlight case involving it's a U.S. Supreme Court case involving a flashlight and whether or not it was plain view. Hold on. After Chris. Justin. So Justin Kerr. So Texas versus Brown, and you win a fabulous prize. So do me a favor. Justin, do you got it? Just say, yep. Email richard@bluetogold.com. Okay, guys, let's, before I bring on my friend, my very good friend, Zach, guys, do me a favor. If you, do you want to bring us out? Do you want to put us on the calendar for late 2025? Do you want to bring us out to 2026? If you guys want, closed training, you want to have, teach your whole agency, it's actually a lot cheaper than you think. Do me a favor, reach out to training@bluetogold.com. And you guys will, we'll send you some information. It's no obligation. We can just send you some information. If it works for you, fine. If not, that's okay too. All right. All right. Hey, Zach, you there? Camera work? All right. There you are.
It does.
That's all good looking. All right. So we're going to, for those who are watching on demand, this is where we end the webinar. I'm glad you guys joined us today. Thank you. We're also going to record the search and seizure show of me and Zach answering questions. So watch that on YouTube. It'll be a different video. We just like to slice them in half. And I really appreciate you guys, and stay safe for those who are watching on demand.